This is Margaret Duncan interviewing Alta Mae Andrews Sharp. This is in Tucson, Arizona, April 16th, 1985. Alta is a member of the Tucson unit who served overseas in World War I. Alta, you want to tell us your name?
Alta Mae Andrews Sharp.
What branch of the service did you serve in, Alta?
I went in the Red Cross first, and then joined the Army Nurse Corps.
How long were you in the Army Nurse Corps?
2 years, something.
Where were you stationed?
Mostly in Rouen, Paris, and then in Paris most of the time.
What hospital unit were you with?
American Red Cross Military, number one.
American Red Cross Military, number one. What influenced you to volunteer for the Army?
My father, Aldous, worked as a Civil War nurse, Mary Briggs, and I always wanted to be another Mary Briggs.
Oh. What did you do prior to your enlisting in the Army?
I did private duty nursing.
What did you do when you were in the service in France? Did you work on the wards? What kind of nursing did you do when you were in the hospital in France?
I was usually chief nurse in Ward 83, Red Cross Military number one.
Oh, I see. When you served in the hospital overseas, did you expect any of this experience to aid you in your career after the war? No, not really, huh? What was your pay? How much did they pay you each month?
They started at $60 a month.
Sixty?
$60 a month.
She's saying 60 to 60.
$60 a month?
When I started.
When you started?
Yeah.
How much, in 1919, when you got out of the service, how much were they paying you then? You can't remember?
I don't remember.
What was your housing like overseas?
I lived in a brand new apartment which was vacant, and they put the nurses in there.
Oh.
And I was on the fourth floor.
Did they take care of you if you were sick overseas then?
Oh, yes.
If you were in the hospital, they did take care of you.
That's right.
What was your uniform like?
Overseas, it was gray chambray with white butcher's aprons and white collar cap and cuffs. Red collar, cuffs, and cap with a red cross on it.
Can you recount any of your memorable experiences? Can you? You can't remember any of those?
Oh, yes.
You can remember lots of them, but too many to tell us? What's the most exciting one you had?
With the air raids over Paris.
Oh.
And being bombed by Big Bertha.
By Big Bertha.
Yeah.
That was that big German gun.
Right.
They
called her Big Bertha.
Uh-huh. did you experience any conflict between being a woman and being overseas in the Army? Did you have any difficulty?
No.
Working in a man's world?
No.
No difficulty at all?
No.
What required the greatest adjustment when you were overseas? Was it the being in uniform, or was it living conditions, or the war, or what?
Ask that again.
What required your greatest adjustment? How did you adjust to things? What was the greatest problem you had?
I don't know how to answer that.
You don't? Well, did you have trouble did you have any trouble working with the men?
No.
No trouble at all?
No.
And they treated nurses very well?
Right.
What was the most unpopular regulation that they had for nurses when you were in France?
That we couldn't go out with enlisted men.
Oh, is that right?
They had to be the officers, and the officers were more interested in the French mademoiselles.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
After you came home from the service, what did you do? Did you go back to nursing?
No, I was all through nursing.
Oh. What did you do after you came back from the service? Did you get married? Is that when you got married?
Well, not right away.
Oh.
I'm trying to think what I did.
Oh. You didn't come back and go to work back in the hospital where you trained?
No.
Did you go back to Elgin, Illinois when you came back from the Army?
No, I stayed in Chicago.
You stayed in Chicago?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And what did you do in Chicago?
I can't think.
Can't remember. Okay, well, we'll look it up in your diary. You have a very complete diary there.
Yeah.
When did you get married?
In 1922.
Did you meet your husband when you were in the Army?
No, I knew him in Elgin.
Oh, you knew him in Elgin?
15 years before.
Oh, I see.
But we couldn't get married because his mother was alive.
Oh, yeah.
She didn't want another woman in the house.
Oh, I see.
So we had to wait till she died.
Oh, I see. Okay. These are some quotes from Alta Sharp's diary, and they're being read by Madeline Ullum from the Tucson chapter, Tucson unit of the Women's Overseas Service League. Okay.
Each day is completely filled with appointments, uniforms to be fitted here, hats to be obtained there, identification tags to be procured at still another place, while shoes must be fitted elsewhere. It takes a great deal of time to equip so many. The American Red Cross is equipping each Army nurse with a most complete outfit consisting of blue serge uniforms with full insignia, blue velour campaign hats, gray chambray uniforms for foreign service, 12 butcher aprons, white collars and cuffs, a blue silk blouse, and a white poplin one, woolen hose, woolen tights, and underwear with long legs and long sleeves. I know you are laughing. A pair of rubber boots, a southwester, in parentheses a rain hat, raincoat, poncho, dark blue ulster, Red Cross blanket, flannelette pajamas, sleeping bag, and a gray sweater. Last but not least, we are being issued huge yellow calfskin collared shoes. We have been deprived of the privilege of choosing our own size, and when you see the broad square toes with the soles of about 1/2 inch thickness protruding far beyond, you are aghast when told that they are the ones that you must take. Naturally, as an army is only as good as its stomach, a nurse is only as good as her feet, and to avoid foot troubles later on, the shoes are selected for us. Being so long, so heavy, and so broad, well, you just don't know your own feet at all. The first night after we had received our full equipment, our group of 10 from Custer boarded a rubberneck bus to obtain an airing while enjoying the sights along Fifth Avenue. While mounting the narrow circular staircases to the top, not one of us failed to fall over her own feet, much to the amusement of the conductor. We are gradually growing accustomed to them, but it is just like learning to walk all over again. Martha had always been very anxious to not only join the Army Nurse Corps, but to go overseas, and had ardently hoped and wanted to go to France. And from her diary she says, "Nearly 6 months has passed since I came here by way of the coal truck, and they have been long, anxious months for most of us. But today, my name, with those and 9 others, was posted with orders to prepare to leave at once for the Holly Hotel, New York City, there to await embarkation overseas." This was the 11th of May, 1918. "Those going with me," and she names all of them, "every one of them are eager, excited, and brimming over with happiness. Mother, I am quite certain that you were introduced to most of them when you were here for the visit, but I must tell you that you met Jonesy, Dusky, and Ken, for these three have been my very dear to me these past few months, and we shall continue to make up a very amiable foursome. This group is the largest group so far to be ordered abroad, and great excitement prevails tonight among the entire staff, 150 nurses now stationed here. This noon, as I was entering our mess hall, I was surprised to see an unusually large group of excited nurses gathered in front of the bulletin board. While gradually edging my way to within reading distance in order to determine the cause of all this excitement, I was suddenly grabbed by Jonesy, who cried hysterically, "Andy, we are going! You, Dusky, Ken, and I!" Mother darling, I was so overcome that I could scarcely see the list, but there indeed was my name. All about were nurses congratulating the lucky ones, all unconsciously revealing little feelings of envy. Everyone is so anxious to get to France that it is quite difficult not to register some disappointment when one's name is omitted from the coveted list.
Alta, when you were in New York waiting to go overseas, what about the basic training they gave you?
Every day we were taken to different armories and trained. And then we had learned how to salute and how to march in formation, how to do squats east and west.
Alta, you had some interesting things in your diary about when the armistice was signed. Can you tell us something about it? Now, that would have been November 11th, 1918.
An officer came to my ward that morning and told me that an armistice might be signed that day. And he suggested I get my half day. So I went up to the chief nurse and asked for my half day, and she willingly gave it to me because nobody wanted Monday off. And so by 11 o'clock, when the armistice was signed, everybody in the hospital wanted the day off. But 4 of us had already asked, and by 11 o'clock, we took off and the metro for the heart of Paris. And we were mobbed.
You went into Paris and helped celebrate for the armistice?
All day.
Uh-huh.
And didn't get home till 4 o'clock the next morning.
What did you do all night?
Just celebrated.
Just celebrate. You danced all night in Paris?
And they were starting parades all day. The heart of Paris was just swarming with officers, soldiers of all types.
And you were in the army then for about, another 6 months over in Paris after the armistice was signed?
I think so.
And then you came back to the States?
Right.
When you came back to the States, where did you go?
To Fort Sheridan, Illinois.
How long were you there?
6 months.
And then you got out of the service?
Yes.
And went back to civilian life?
What?
And went back to civilian life. Did you enjoy your 2 years in the Army?
Very much so.
And being overseas was interesting?
Yes.
Where was the hospital in France set up?
In Neuilly, a suburb of Paris. Where I was.
A suburb of Paris?
Yes.
What kind of a building was the hospital in?
It was formerly a boys' school.
Oh, I see. According to your diary, you had some interesting things happen to you when you were on your way overseas. Can you tell us about that?
There were 12 ships. 650 army nurses on the Megantic that I was on, and we had the battleship San Diego that escorted us over, and it was sunk on its way back on its return trip.
How many ships were in the convoy?
12.
12 ships.
Yeah.
And then, did you land in France or did you land in England?
Southampton.
You landed in
France.
Southampton, England.
Southampton. Yes.
How long did you stay in England?
Well, a month.
About a month. Can you tell us something about when you got on the ships to go across the channel?
Started by a lot of little sub-chasers, and we went over in complete darkness overnight.
According to your diary, you had a boat drill and going over before you left to go across the English Channel. Can you tell us what happened?
We had boat drill every day,
and
we had to carry our life preservers. The men had to wear them, but we were allowed to carry them on our arms. But we had to have them with us day and night. At night, we slept with our life preserver across our...
How many days did it take you to go across the English Channel? That was just a short trip, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah. Just overnight.
Just overnight.
Yeah.
Okay. Can you tell us about night duty on the in the hospital? Can you tell us about how you had the lamp? When you made rounds?
Oh, we carried lanterns, and we had dark blue linen wrapped around the lanterns. And if we wanted to see a patient, we had to park the Gigamo in order to see.